This morning I want you to turn with me in your Bible to Deuteronomy, book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. We're still studying solus Christus, that salvation is only by and through Christ Jesus our Lord. One of the properties of uniqueness in regard to our Lord Jesus Christ is that he has three offices. And I'm wondering here at the beginning of our time if someone can tell me what those three offices are.
Prophet, priest, and king.
That's right, Lyle, thanks. Prophet, priest, and king. And in Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 to 19, we find a most remarkable prophecy that's given by God to Moses. And I'm wondering if somebody would read verses 15 to 19 for me. Who would like to do that? Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 19. Matt, go ahead.
The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen. You shall listen to him. This is according to all that you asked of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire any more, for I will die. The Lord said to me, they have spoken well. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth. He shall speak to them all that I command him. Verse 19 also. It shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require of him.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. This is an amazing passage here. It talks about God, the necessity really for God to raise up a prophet like unto Moses. Moses was the mediator, if you will, of the old covenant. Moses spoke face to face with God on the mountain. And he was a prophet to the people. What is a prophet? Can you tell me? I'm trying to start low here so that we can all enjoy this. Yeah, the mouthpiece of God, one who's speaking on behalf of God to men, receiving direct revelation from God himself. And yet the prophet that's spoken of here is no ordinary prophet here in chapter 18, verse 15. He was like Moses in that he would be a mediator. But why was it that we need a mediator? I mean, in terms of a prophet, what is it that was wrong here in this passage? What was the problem that the people were having concerning their speaking with God or their relationship with God? Well, they were that. They were very sinful. There's no doubt about that. At many points, they were unbelieving, even though they had seen such great miracles and mighty works that God had done for them. But in this particular passage, what was the problem? It's found in verse 16 there.
Well, the display of God's majesty was too frightening for them, or was overwhelming.
Exactly right. The majesty of God was so great it was overwhelming to them. They were afraid. And by the way, I think that if we were to hear the voice of God, that we too would be afraid in this sense that they heard it that day. And that was the reason. It's interesting, isn't it? They say in verse 16, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. That shows the power and the glory and the majesty of our God, does it not? How great He is. How much greater He is than little man that He's created. And He says in verse 17, what they have spoken is good. What they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him, and it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. What does it mean when he says, I will require it of him? He will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name. It's speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ here, and we're going to see that in just a minute. But what does it mean by requiring it? I will require it. There is an answer to this, by the way, in the verse that we're going to look at in just a minute. Maybe you remember it. But go ahead if you have a thought on this. Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
Well, there's a New Testament verse that says, he that believeth the Son hath life, and he that believeth not the Son hath not life.
Ah, good.
Life upon you, and that's kind of the principle, I think.
Yes. Yeah, that is the principle that and this ties in with solus Christus that we're studying. That salvation is only through Christ. It's all of Christ. And we need to see that, how special a thing it was for the Lord God Almighty, this great and majestic and holy being, to give us His Son so that when He spoke to us, that He would not raise His voice, it says, in the streets, but also that we might understand the love of God for us as His creature, mankind, that He has a love for mankind in the gospel. And we need to remember that. We need to glory in it. Now take a look with me over at Acts chapter 3 and verse 22. Acts chapter 3. And verse 22. Who would like to read verses 22 and 23 for me? Abe, go right ahead.
Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. To him you shall give heed to everything he says to you. And it will be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people.
Now, that's the explanation, and it's a quote from the verse that we just read, verses that we just read in Deuteronomy 18, but Peter elaborates on it for us here a little bit, doesn't he? He says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren, and him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Well, that's requiring. That's what it means by requiring, doesn't it? It will be required of us. If we believe in Christ, then we will not be judged. We will not be condemned, like Brian was giving us that good verse in respect to those things. But I wanted you to see here that one of the offices of Christ is that He is a prophet. He is a prophet. And why do we need a prophet is a good question, I think, for us to think about here this morning. I think in the catechisms it says this at various points. Our own confession talks about it. But let me open it up and see what you think, what you would like to say about this. Jenny?
I think in the children's catechism it says because I am ignorant.
I think that's right. It's because I am ignorant. I'm ignorant that I have need to be taught. I have need to be instructed. I have need to have my eyes opened, the eyes of my heart opened. But I need a word to my soul that will reveal the truth about my need of Christ, don't I? I need a prophet. I need one to teach me. And Christ is the ultimate teacher, isn't he? They shall all be taught of God. It says as a part of the new covenant prediction in Jeremiah and also then in the New Testament. They shall all be taught of God. And so it is. We need to be taught. We need to be instructed because we are ignorant. In our own confession in chapter 8 and paragraph 10, it says this number and order of offices in Christ is necessary, for in respect of our ignorance, we stand in need of his prophetical office. There it is again. Because of our ignorance. And why are we ignorant? I mean, why don't we know these things by nature? Because we're alienated from God, aren't we? We're estranged from him by nature. Now, why is all this important? Well, it's important for you to understand in relation to the gospel that you proclaim to others around you. Now, people need to be taught. They need a prophet. They need to be instructed. And you can help them because you've come to know the true and living God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The second office of our Lord Jesus Christ is that he is a priest. Indeed, he is the high priest of our confession. I want you to look with me at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and we'll look at verses 5 and 6. Who would like to read that for us? Yep.
So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." Just as he said also in another passage, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek."
Okay, all right. This is really good, isn't it? So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest. There was already an order of priests, wasn't there? Can you tell me what that order was named? Who it was named after?
Aaron.
Levi, yeah, and Aaron, the Aaronic priesthood, the Levitical priesthood. And it says here that Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you," as he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Now we need to understand what a priest is. What is a priest? Well, yeah. Can you explain that a little bit more?
The people need to approach God, so God needs a priest to mediate between the people and God.
There you go. Amen. He does represent them before the people, and it works. We're told in the book of Hebrews that. And in other places in the Bible that they offered up sacrifices for the people. At times they spoke to the people too, like Ezra and others. But if you look over at chapter 7 here in the book of Hebrews, it says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, And then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. So our Lord Jesus Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. This unusual man that we're not given quite enough information about to really understand everything about him. We do understand that he was a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, because after the slaughter of the kings, that is where Abraham took his, 116 people that were in his own household and went and fought a battle against a number of kings. And by the grace of God, he was victorious, brought peace to the region and delivered his nephew Lot, who had been taken captive. When he came back with the spoils of this battle, he was met by Melchizedek. And it says here that he gave him a tenth of those spoils. What an amazing passage this is, and how amazingly spiritually significant it is, even hard to understand. And yet the writer of the book of Hebrews, who I assume is the Apostle Paul, gave it to us for a good reason. He gave it to us for the reason that we might understand something more about Christ and his being our mediator. Now, what tribe was Christ of? Was he a Levitical priest? The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. So our Lord Jesus Christ was not a priest of the order of Levi or Aaron, but rather he was of the order of Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek, here it says in verse 2, it says who Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace. What kind of an order was this man of? I mean, what kind of a priesthood was this? And do you happen to recall what kind of offering that he gave when he came to Abraham?
He came bringing wine and bread.
And why did he come bringing wine and bread, would you say? Well, meant to be a picture to us, a type to us, of our Lord Jesus Christ, of his sufferings, and the fact that he is of a different order of priest. Interesting, isn't it, that this Melchizedek was both a king and a priest. He had two offices. Our Lord Jesus Christ has three offices: prophet, priest, and king. Now, why do you think that Abraham paid him tithes? And this relates also to our Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 8 there, or verse 7, now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here mortal men receive tithes, verse 8, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Wow. These are amazing things, aren't they? These are amazing things. Well, it's because he was representing the order of our Lord Jesus Christ in a prophetic manner here, wasn't it? He was representing him in that way. And Abraham knew that by the Spirit. And Abraham, to whom the promises had been given of the promised Messiah, who was able to, even from his day, to see that Christ would be given, that Christ would come and rejoice, was rejoicing in this Melchizedek offering up the bread and the wine. And so he was very free about giving him a tithe at this point in time, a tenth of all the spoils. And even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. I'm trying to show you the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ was also a king. Look at Psalm 2 with me in verse 6. Psalm 2. Who would like to read for me verses 6, 7, and 8 for me? Aaron, do you have that? Go ahead and read it. Amen. Thank you for that, Aaron. Notice what's said here. I've set my king on my holy hill of Zion, prophetic of, again, of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will declare the decree. We've studied this decree in past Sundays. That is the council of redemption, the covenant of redemption that was worked out between the Father and the Son in eternity past. But he says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, the Lord Jesus Christ says prophetically here, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. So we need to see these great things, these great offices that have been given to our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we need a priest and why do we need a king? Can you tell me?
We need a king because he from the wonder and he came to rule us, to do us for himself.
That's right. Yeah, Jenny. Good. Because I am weak and helpless, I need a king. I do need to be governed. I need to be ruled. I need a Lord. But it's because I'm weak and helpless. I do need protection. I do need to be cared for in that way. Now let me read to you paragraph 10 of chapter 8 again. This number and order of offices is necessary for, in respect of our ignorance, we stand in need of his prophetical office. And in respect of our alienation from God, and in perfection of the best of our services, that is what we offer to God, we need His priestly office to reconcile us and present us acceptable unto God. And in respect to our averseness and utter inability to return to God, and for our rescue and security from our spiritual adversaries, we need His kingly office to convince, subdue, draw, uphold, deliver, and preserve us to His heavenly kingdom. Boy, that's good, isn't it? There's so much that we learn of Christ by studying His offices. Well, let's pray together. We thank You, Father, for this time around Your Word, and pray that our hearts would be strengthened by it to see how strong our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ really is. May these truths comfort and encourage us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.